One of the very first Bible studies that I remember was on the tongue. I was at Boys Brigade. I think I was in about year 4 or 5. I remember there was a group of us sitting in a circle on the carpet up on a stage just like this. And the person leading the study took a tube of toothpaste and he squeezed it all out onto a paper plate. And then he said to us, put the toothpaste back inside the tube. So there we were, you know, year 4 or 5 boys trying to get our fingers and shove toothpaste back in the tube. And I'm sure after a few minutes we gave up. And then he said to us, your words can be like that toothpaste. Once you say something, it's out. And it can't be put back inside. Now, as it is with old memories, I can't remember the rest of what he said. We may have read James 3, 1 to 12, or one of the other passages in the Bible that talk about the tongue. But the illustration gets to the point, doesn't it? It shows the power and danger of our words. Once they're said, they can't be unsaid. Once they're out there, we can't take them back. As we continue our series in James, as we're thinking about how to be doers of God's word, this morning we're looking at chapter 3, which is, as Christine read, is all about the tongue. And the question we're asking ourselves this morning, how do we tame the tongue? How do we tame the tongue? Let's dive into the passage and see what we can find out. Because the first thing that James wants us to understand is why we should bother. Why on earth should we bother to tame the tongue? Because the tongue has complete control over our lives. This is the first point on the back page of the notice sheet. Verses 2 to 5a, the controlling tongue. Want to live a godly life, James asks? Want the key to godly living? It's the tongue. Don't be deceived by its size, he says. Although it's small, it can be very influential. What we say can and will have a significant impact on how we live our life. Think about a few things that are small but have complete control over large things. James says, look at the bit of a horse in verse 3 and to the rudder of a ship in verse 4. Both are small, or at least small compared to their bigger things, yet both control the entire direction of the horse and the ship. For us, this is the tongue. James says the tongue controls our lives. Now, at this point, we need to understand what James means by the tongue, because it's actually much more than just what physically comes out of our mouth. Every thought we have, every idea we conceive, comes to our minds in words. The tongue, it's our thoughts which drives our words, which drives our actions. And just as the rudder keeps the ship on course during a storm, so the tongue can keep us on course or send us off course during the challenges of life. For instance, when life is unfair, you can either speak words of resentment to yourself or you can speak words of encouragement of God's goodness. You can either tell yourself how hard done by you are, or you can remind yourself that God is gracious. When confronted with something we desire, you can either speak lustful words to yourself, or you can remind yourself that you already have all that you need in Christ. What we say to ourselves, both silent and out loud, will drive our actions. Your tongue controls you through the storms of life. It's the key to godliness. If we control our tongues, we'll control our whole bodies. One of the commentators I read said it better than I can. He said, but if our tongue was so self-controlled that it refused to formulate words of self-pity, that it refused to make the images of lustfulness, that it cut out the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things are cut down before they have a chance to live. The master switch that is the tongue has deprived them of the power to switch on that side of our lives. The control of the tongue, he says, is more than the evidence of spiritual maturity. It's the means to it. And in case you're not convinced, James then shows us what happens when things go wrong. This is the second point in the outline. He shows us the destructive power of the tongue. This is verses 5b to 6. James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All it takes is a spark to start a bushfire. In fact, a few years ago, scientists did some research into the causes of bushfires in Australia. Of all the ones that they knew the cause for, they found that just under half were caused by an accidental spark, maybe from a cigarette butt out a car window, or from a campfire, or maybe a spark from machinery or power lines. Another 40% were deliberately lit, which is really sad, although not quite my point, and the final 13% were caused by lightning strikes, a very powerful natural spark. In all cases, something small, a spark, started something very large and destructive. Something the size of a speck of dust started something that in some cases destroys thousands of hectares of land, hundreds of livestock, homes, and in the worst cases, lives. In the same way, our small tongues are a fire. They set on fire our entire lives. If we don't control it, our thoughts and our words will run amok, causing great damage to us and to those around us. The words of lust, the words of anger, the words of jealousy, all the sinful words that we say to ourselves will become louder and louder and louder until we act on them. In fact, James even goes so far to say that the tongue is set on fire by hell. It's the instrument of Satan in our very bodies. So, we can see the benefit of taming the tongue. It's the key to godliness. And we can see the danger of not taming the tongue. It will destroy our lives. But how do we tame it? Well, sorry to break it to you, but we can't. That's what James says in verses 7 to 8. We can tame every kind of creature, he says, but not the tongue. Now, hang on a minute, really? Is the tongue really untamable? Sure, it might be difficult, it might require some hard work, but is it really untamable? Short answer, yes. By ourselves, there's nothing we can do. And if we're going to tame the tongue, if we're going to do the impossible, we need to get this. The tongue is a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. The answer to our question isn't just more discipline. It's not the latest self-help book. It's not watching our tongue, because the tongue is untamable. Excuse me. Yeah, the answer to taming the tongue is not with us. The tongue is untamable. So again, how do we tame it? How do we tame the tongue? Well, we're going to get there. But before we do, there's one more thing that we need to understand. Excuse me again. This is the fourth point on the sermon outline, verses 9 to 12, the tongue is double-minded. With the tongue, we bless God and we curse others. With the same mouth, we come here to church and we sing our praises to God as we've done. And then for me, I know that I can go home and mutter under my breath in the car. With the same mouth, I go to the young adults group and try to say all these wise things. And then I come home and I snap at my wife. It's just not right, is it? As James said, this should not be. Again, the ever-practical James gives us an illustration. As a preacher, he's done all my work for me. He says, a spring doesn't produce both fresh water and bitter water. It only produces fresh water or bitter water, not both. A fig tree only produces figs, not olives. A grapevine only produces grapes, not figs. Do you see James's point? What comes out depends on who we are. What we say is a reflection of what's inside. If you're a freshwater spring, then you produce fresh water. But if you're a spring of bitter water, then that's what comes out. The occasional blessing, the odd nice word, doesn't change that. What we say comes from who we are. And this is the key to taming the tongue. This is what we need to get. To tame the tongue, we need total transformation from the inside out. You see, in the Bible, who we are, our deepest nature, is our heart. Why is the tongue so evil? It's because our hearts are evil and set against God. If you've got a problem with your speech, you've got a problem with your heart. In Matthew 12, Jesus says to the Pharisees, Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." Our speech, what we think, what we say, reveals who we are. In the case of the Pharisees, it revealed who they were. It showed them to be evil. It showed that they weren't genuinely seeking the kingdom of God. They were evil at heart, and so they rejected all that Jesus said and did. And what about you? What does your tongue say about you? I want you to think about your words, what you think and say, what you say to your wife or your husband, what you say to your kids, what you say to yourself when no one is listening. Because your tongue is a thermometer of your heart. Your tongue reveals the temperature of your heart. So what do you say to yourself when you see the good-looking girl on TV or at the office? What do you say when you hear the coarse joke down at the pub? What words come to mind when you get home after a long day and there's 100 things to do at home? What do you say when that person you really don't like comes up in conversation or on the news? What does your tongue say about you? This matters. James has been really clear. Our tongue poisons our whole body. We can't ignore what we say. We can't ignore what we say out loud, and we can't ignore what we say to ourselves. Please don't think that it doesn't matter what you say, that it's only what you do. What we say matters. In fact, Jesus' very next words to the Pharisees, back in Matthew 12, are, Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You will be judged for everything you say. Every careless word you think and speak will be judged. The harsh quip to the kids, those lustful words that only you can hear. What you mutter under your breath about politicians or anyone else. James is right, isn't he? The tongue is a raging fire that sets on fire our whole lives. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. And we will be judged for it. Every word you say will be judged. So how do we tame the tongue? Based on what James says, it's impossible. Well, it's impossible for us. By ourselves, there's nothing we can do. The secret to taming the tongue isn't in the tongue at all, and it's not within us. To tame the tongue, we need a new heart. To tame the tongue, we need a new heart. And that's something that only God can do. Remember what Jesus said? He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we want to tame the tongue, we need a new heart. The tongue is full of poison because the human heart is broken. The prophet Ezekiel describes it as a heart of stone. It doesn't love God and it doesn't love others as it should. Our hearts are hard, stubborn, proud. And that's why the tongue is so evil. The tongue isn't the problem here. It's a symptom. The problem is our proud, stubborn, foolish hearts. But finally, some good news. Through the gospel, God gives us a new heart. God promises his people a new heart, a heart of flesh. God gives us soft hearts, hearts that can love God and love others. And from that heart, you can tame the tongue. If you're a Christian today, if you've repented of your sins and put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a new heart. You have a heart of flesh. You have God's Spirit within you. And so you can tame your tongue. By yourself, James says, it's untamable. But with a new heart, with a heart of flesh, you can tame it. You can control the words that you say to yourself and to others. Now, I know what you might be thinking. I know you'll never be perfect. This side of heaven will always be dragged down by our old sinful nature. But you can make real progress. If this morning you can see that your tongue is godly, if you are taming the tongue, then praise God. That's his work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. As James says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If this is you, then keep going. Don't take your foot off the pedal. Heed James's warning. The tongue can do so much damage. If you've got it under control, keep it under control. But maybe this morning you can see that the temperature of your heart isn't great. Maybe your tongue is telling you that your heart is cold. Is this you this morning? Are you the first one with a cruel reply? Do you often have jealous, selfish words bouncing around in your head? Then this is a great opportunity to repent. Come before God this morning and acknowledge the sin of your tongue. Say sorry. And as a Christian, you have the wonderful promise of forgiveness. The Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're not taming the tongue right now, then repent, knowing that God will forgive you. Ask God to continue his work in your heart, to renew it, to make it clean. And let me remind you that this will take time. Your tongue won't change overnight. But with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and your own efforts, you can make real progress. Those comments under your breath, the words spoken to yourself in jealousy, the backhanded compliments, you're not bound to them. You have a new heart. You can speak in love. You can speak in patience. When it's the end of the day and you get that annoying question, you're not bound to the snappy reply. And if you're not a Christian this morning, then I hope that you can see the evidence of your heart of stone. Because we speak from the heart. That's just how it works. You may think of yourself as a good person, but is your tongue really good all the time? I hope that as you think about your words, you can see that your heart is hard, stubborn, rebellious. And I also hope that you can see God's promise of a new heart. Let me read to you God's promise in full. God said, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." That's Ezekiel 11:19. These words can be for you as well. Through repenting, through turning to Christ and trusting him, he will give you a new heart as well. And from that, you can tame the tongue. Just as I said before, through the Spirit's work and your own efforts, you can tame the tongue. Now, just before we finish, let's think really quickly about what it looks like to have a tamed tongue. Sure, it's about controlling our thoughts and our words, but it's not just about what we don't think and say. Taming the tongue is also about what we do think and say. In Colossians, Paul tells us that we need to speak kind words to each other, that we need to speak forgiving words, that we need to speak humble words, that we need to speak loving words, that we need to speak peaceful words, that we need to teach and admonish each other with our words. Paul says even that all our words should honor Jesus. What I want you to get is that this is not just about us. Taming the tongue is not just about your personal godliness, although that's part of it. Taming the tongue is about how we live as God's people, in our own families, and here at church. Taming the tongue, what we say, is crucial to building up the body of Christ. And this will be hard. There will be times that we don't want to be kind, humble, or that we don't want to be patient, that we don't want to be forgiving. Some days we'll just want to give people a taste of their own medicine. We'll just want to put that person in their place. We'll want to give them a piece of our mind. But this is what it means to tame the tongue. Excuse me. To tame the tongue is to bear with one another in love. Maybe before, when you thought about your own thoughts and your own words, you passed that checklist with flying colours. That's great, but how well do you measure up to what Paul says in Colossians? The last time you were wronged at church, did you speak forgiving words? Do you usually speak humble words to yourself and to others? Does your speech produce patience? Do you teach and admonish other people in all wisdom? This takes being intentional. I know that I have a long way to go in this. And I know that you have a long way to go. I know that I think every church in Brisbane has a long way to go in this. But as God's people in Acacia Ridge, Paul shows us in Colossians what we should look like. We need to tame the tongue to be growing as God's people. So the tongue. We can see in James that it has great control over our lives, and we can see the destructive power that it can wield if not controlled. By itself, James says, you can't tame it. But with a new heart, with God's Spirit within you, you can tame the tongue. You can control your thoughts and your words, which is the key to godliness in all we do. And then you can use the tongue to build up and encourage your fellow Christians here at church. So let me ask you one more time. Have you tamed your tongue?